Hey everybody, Pastor Ben here. If you haven't met me, my name is Ben Friesen. I'm one of the pastors here at Cornerstone Community Church. We are so glad that you are joining us today. Welcome to our live stream. Welcome to our celebration of Pentecost Sunday. This is the Sunday that we remember the Holy Spirit being poured out on the early church in the book of Acts, and we are celebrating that today with believers around the world. So we're going to do a couple of things a little bit differently this morning. First, we're going to hear a video from Multiply. That's the missions agency that we are connected with, formerly known as MB Mission. They are inviting people to hear from the global church right now. If you want to participate in their Zoom calls, they actually hold Zoom calls on Tuesdays and Thursdays and are inviting people to hear from what the global church has to say. We'll play that video first. We've got an edition of the Cornerstone check-in with a couple of guys that we'll hear from. And then we've got a special version of our scripture reading today. This being Pentecost Sunday, we're going to hear the scripture declared in a couple of different languages, and then it'll be read in English so that we all here can participate. But stick around for all of that. It'll be a little bit of videos there, and then we'll get back to the sermon. See you soon.
It's really hard to be a lukewarm Christian when, in order to follow Christ, you had to accept that you might be killed. You had to accept that your family might reject you, your best friends never speak to you again, you lose your job, you lose your house. Now we have a greater opportunity than ever before to get the attention of our friends and neighbors and share Jesus with them. We need a radical dependence on the Holy Spirit. It's things that, you know, we take for granted here. It's just, you know, we can meet in groups of thousands, and they can't even imagine that. To them, a church of 50 people is a mega church. I think the Lord is going to use this time to bring us back to basics and to teach us maybe some hard lessons the church in the East has known for a long time.
Hey guys, it's Patrick and Eli here. We're just checking in with Cornerstone on what we've been up to since we've been separated by coronavirus. I have been at work steadily, not slowed down at all. We're out here at Shawnee Lake now fishing. We've done a lot of fishing. What kind of fishing have you done, Eli?
We've done a bunch of crappie, fishing, and sometimes white bass.
What do you do with them?
We clean them, cook them, and eat them.
Yes. Do you like them?
I mean, I kind of like crappie, but not white bass.
I heard you, man. Spending a lot of time working on the house, power washing outside. Got the chance to chase a few storms. There haven't been many this year. We've had a good time doing that. We really miss our Cornerstone family and our blood family and friends. We don't see them very often. But when we do, we cherish those times. So we can't wait to be back at Cornerstone. There goes Eli grabbing a bite. Fish on. Have a good night, guys. See you soon.
Atti due, uno e due. Il giorno della Pentecoste. Passate sette settimane dalla morte e dalla resurrezione di Gesù. Nel giorno della Pentecoste i credenti si trovavano tutti insieme nello stesso luogo. Improvvisamente si udì un rumore da cielo, come quando soffia un vento impetuoso, un rumore tale che riempì tutta la casa dove si trovavano.
Et apuerant illes despertitae linguae, tamquam ignis, sedetque supra singulos errorum, et repleti sunt omnis spiritus sancta, et capuerant loqui varis linguas prat, Spiritus Sancta dabet aliqui illis.
Estaban de visita en Jerusalén judíos piadosos procedentes de todas las naciones de la tierra. Al oír aquel bullicio, se agolparon y quedaron todos pasmados porque cada uno los escuchaba hablar en su propio idioma. Hechos 2, 5 y 6, nueva versión internacional.
你好，这是《使徒行传》二章七声，都诧异惊奇说：“看啊，这些说话的不都是加利利人吗？我们每一个人怎么听见他们说我们生来所用的湘潭呢？”
Parthoi, kai medoi, kai elamitai, kai oi katakuntes, tes Mesopotamian, Udean, te kai Cappadocian.Ponton kai tain Asian, Phrygian te kai Pamphylian, Aguptan kai ta Merain, tes Libeus, tes Katakurenin, kai oi epidemuntes Romeoi.
Acts 2, 11 et 2. Nous venons de la crête ou de la rive.Et pourtant, chacun de nous les entend parler dans sa propre langue des choses merveilleuses que Dieu a accomplies. Ils n'en revenaient pas plongés dans la plus grande perplexité. Ils se demandaient entre eux qu'est-ce que cela peut bien vouloir dire.
Hi guys, I'm Lily Evans and today I am reading from Acts 2, 1 through 12. So here we go.On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them, and every present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in their languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. At that time, they were devout Jews,from every nation living in Jerusalem. When they heard the loud noise, everyone came running, and they were bewildered to hear their own languages being spoken by the believers. They were completely amazed. How can this be? They exclaimed. These people are all from Galilee, and yet we hear them speaking in our native languages. Here we are, Parthians, Medes, Elamite, people from Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia,Pontus, the province of Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the areas of Libya around Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, and we all hear these people speaking in our own languages about the wonderful things God has done.They stood there amazed and perplexed. What can this mean? They asked each other. Thank you.
Thank you to everybody who participated there. Patrick, Eli, thank you. Eli, I really hope you landed your fish. I'm guessing that you did. And to everyone who shared their ability to read another language, thank you for helping us experience the scriptures in a different way this morning.Today is Pentecost Sunday, and we are talking about, if I can get it right there we go, we are talking about being a Spirit-led church. We know that Pentecost is when, as the scriptures were just read for us, when the Holy Spirit came and empowered the early church. Now, Caitlin is taking seminary classes. She's continuing along with her program and is in a class about church history right now and learning about the many, 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 was that enough minis? Am I getting close? Many different factions and groups of the church that the church has been throughout history. But the one thing that we all go back to that Christians all move towards is we go back to the early church. We go back and we look at the early church and we see them in action and use that as a guide for us following Jesus, even today, 2,000 some odd years later. One of the convictions that I have is that we don't need to invent doing church. We don't need to create something new in terms of church. Absolutely, we are always changing how we do church, innovating, being creative with how we share the gospel, because how we share the gospel is continually changing. Because how our culture can best receive, can best understand the gospel is changing. And as the time changes, how we can best share the gospel changes right along with it. But this in itself is actually what the church has been doing for ages. The church has been continually changing and adapting to culture because the church is guided by the Holy Spirit. And we see that in our passage openly. We see that the church being guided by the Spirit openly for the first time. So I want to invite you. You can either pick up your Bibles, get on your phones, however you can best access the scriptures. We're going to be in Acts chapter 2. Since it was just read for you, I'm not going to put anything up on the screen, but I invite you to follow along with me. Acts chapter 2, starting there at verse 1. The day of the Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. They were all meeting together, and then something happened. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Caitlin didn't know what the Holy Spirit sounded like until we moved to Kansas. Thank you, Kansas, for helping us learn more about how the Holy Spirit sounds like. Now she does know. But then, after this sound like a roaring windstorm, there was something else that happened. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone was filled with the Holy Spirit. They began speaking in other languages, and as the passage goes on to tell us, they immediately left and went out to use their newfound gifts to share the name of Jesus with others. There are a number of things that fascinate me about this story. First off, just frankly, I don't know about you, but I would be pretty intimidated at the beginning, being terrified. There's this loud wind, which as an Oklahoman, I don't know if other Oklahomans feel this way. I just tend to be nervous anytime I hear a loud wind because I know what could come along with that. But then there are these things that look like flames or tongues of fire just coming out and settling on everyone. I have to just imagine. That was pretty terrifying at the beginning. Second, I want to point out, they had a very unusual experience in this passage in Acts. They had something extremely unusual happen. I have not heard of the Spirit manifesting in quite this way, you know, with a loud whirlwind and tongues of fires again, though I could easily be wrong. We trust that the Spirit moves in different ways, and may have chosen to manifest in that way again. But living the Spirit-led way, being a Spirit-led person, living and doing church the Spirit-led way, can look weird, even in things that are normal. We absolutely would profess, we would say that God uses the Spirit in normal, mundane ways too. But even if how God is using the Spirit in your life, even if it looks normal or mundane, it can still seem a little bit strange or odd. I want to challenge us to not let that bother us. Lean into that. Lean into whatever the Spirit is doing in your life. The Spirit helps connect us to God, helps convict us, to guide us, to help us know what we should be doing, what we should be learning, who we should even be talking to. And we can't expect the Spirit, which is our connection with God, we can't expect the Spirit to just act like, it's just going to tell us to do the same things that we've always done that are just normal and all in the same way. Even in normal ways, the Spirit can, even if it uses normal means, the Spirit often is felt by us in odd and strange ways. But we should expect that. Following after the Holy Spirit, letting the Spirit guide us, even through the oddness, the strangeness of however the Spirit is directing and guiding each one of us, even with that oddness and strangeness, it will connect us to God, to others, to what we should be doing in our world. That's what our mission as a church is, connect to God, to others, and to your mission. And that's what the Holy Spirit helps us do. It will be better for us, for our walk with God, and for our world. A third observation, a third note here. When the believers received the Spirit, when the Spirit gifted them, it wasn't just for the believers. They didn't hold a conference and all get together and say, look how cool my new ability to speak a different language was. No, they went out immediately. They left where they were and started proclaiming the name of Jesus to others. The gifts they received were for a purpose, the purpose of bringing others to know Jesus. And they immediately left the place where they were gathered. Our Sunday mornings are supposed to be like that. Whether we are gathered in person, whether we're gathered digitally like this through technology, being together is supposed to equip us so that we can be sent out to do things. I actually was interacting with a couple of you this week. Two separate people mentioned that they missed something that our church was doing because they were involved in other ministry at the time. Praise God! That's the point! Yes, amen! That's what the Holy Spirit helps us to do. The Spirit is not just to connect us with each other, though gathering absolutely is important because it equips us to do the real ministry that God has for us. Your gifts are not just for you. The gifts that God has given you are to help our world come to know Jesus more and more. There's one final thing that this passage reminds me of. It is a reminder that God is not, God cannot be contained by one language, one nation, one culture. No matter what you would say, what constraint you would put on it, God is bigger than that. And praise God that he is, that he is not like the gods of the ancient world, where one god was a god for this nation or people group, and another god was for this nation and people group, and once you left those boundaries, that god didn't apply anymore, and these two gods would fight each other, their nations would fight each other to determine who was the winner. But that's not what we proclaim, that's not what we see in our passage today. Part of what we proclaim and celebrate on Pentecost Sunday is this is one of the many ways that God shows that he is a God of all, a God of all people, not just one particular people, not just for Jewish people or for Greek people or for white people, but for everyone on our world, in our world, for all people under the sun, that all people would come to know him. That brings me to something that happened in the news this week. A black man was killed while in police custody. His name is George Floyd. And that is not okay. And don't hear me wrong, it wouldn't be okay if it were a Hispanic person, if it were a white person, anyone. This would be horrible. This is horrible. None of that would be okay. Any loss of life is something that God grieves. Our God is a giver of life. God gives us the gift of life. And God's not a God of death. And so any death is something that God grieves. We are told throughout Scripture that death is the enemy. Any loss of life grieves God. But there is a pattern that black women and that black men in particular are killed frequently in this country. And that pattern is evil. There are no words for it other than that. It is evil, and it needs to be called out as such. It's in defiance of God. And our God loves black people. They are our brothers and sisters in Christ, made in the image of the living God. And that doesn't mean that police are evil. We respect law enforcement. We want good people to be working in law enforcement. Many are. Caitlin and I both have people in our families on both sides that work in the law enforcement arena. But this needs to be said above all. Any action that treats people as not valuable because of their ethnicity, language, cultural background, anything like that is in defiance of God. It is in defiance of God. It is sin, and it needs to be called out for the evil that it is. If you want to talk to me about this, please connect with me. I won't pretend that I have all the answers, that I know everything, because I don't. But I know that God, that our God values life, that God values people, and those values are not on display right now in our nation. And so we as a nation need to repent. We need to repent, and we need to turn to the Holy Spirit as our guide, because we have seen a better way. In our passage here in Acts, we've seen a better way. We see how it's supposed to be in this passage. In this passage, there are a bunch of different people from different nations, ethnicities, cultures, backgrounds, you name it. But God reached out to them all because they are valuable. That is something that we consistently see with the Holy Spirit. A Spirit-led life, when you are living the Spirit-led life, your first instinct is not to look at how people are different from you, but to see how people need Jesus. And that's what these believers did. And we may not have the gift of tongues. If you do have the gift of tongues, praise God, use it for His glory. We don't all have all the gifts. But whether or not we have that particular gift is not the focus of this passage. The real focus of what was read for us earlier today is that these people who encountered the Holy Spirit, who were living Spirit-led lives, they started to reach out and to tell others about Jesus, to tell every nation, to tell every people group, language, culture that they encountered, to spread the name of Jesus. Because that is our call. And church family, it is our call still today. I'm going to unplug for just a second. I need to bring something over here. Caitlin's going to maneuver for the camera up top. Yeah, you would just move that a little bit. Here. There we go.
Clearly, I don't know how to use this. Ta-da! There we go.
The magic of technology. I'll move this over to the side, get it out of the way. So Jesse Hart painted this for us. This was actually a long-term project. I asked her to start many weeks ago, and she did a wonderful job. Jesse, thank you. This is beautiful. I hope and I pray, church family, as you see this, as you see this painting, that you are reminded that the Holy Spirit is empowering you, that the Spirit is not just something that God gave the church back then, but that God is giving us even today, that the Spirit is empowering you and is alive and well. And that when you see this painting up and around our church building, that when you see this painting, my prayer is that you will be reminded that the Spirit is empowering you, that the Spirit, you can listen to the Spirit's work inside of you, and that you will be empowered to do what you need to do, to say what you need to say, to go where you need to go, because that's how the Spirit-led life works for us individually and for us as a church. I hope this will remind you that to just listen to the Spirit. And that's something that's even a little bit hard for me. I am not somebody who sees a miracle around every corner. That's just not what I have experienced. But just because something isn't miraculous doesn't mean it's not the Spirit at work. Caitlin and I felt, oh goodness, we have experienced the Spirit in ridiculous ways this season, in blessing and generosity of people. We've experienced generosity for us, and we've experienced the Spirit convicting us to give to others. There are a couple of organizations that we are financially partnering with because we have felt the Spirit convict us. We've felt the Spirit convict us to focus in on prayer for us personally and for us as a church, as Cornerstone Community Church. And in those situations, Caitlin, you can tell me if I'm wrong here, I didn't see a flame light up above either of our heads. We didn't get to experience that kind of experience with the Holy Spirit. But we trust that we are still being led by the Holy Spirit, even in those more normal, more usual, more mundane parts of our lives. And there is one thing that we need to be doing to make sure the Spirit is leading, is guiding us, that we are open to it, that we are open to the Spirit's convictions, the Spirit's invitations. And that one thing is that we will listen to the Spirit, that we will have listening ears, eyes, listening hearts. And for most of us, maybe not all of us, but for most of us, that opportunity to listen to the Holy Spirit comes in the form of prayer. And so that's what we are going to be focusing on for the next few weeks. We're going to be focusing on prayer and how we can be a church that is living up to listen, being the Spirit-led church and listening to the Holy Spirit in our prayer time. My hope and my prayer is that you will connect to the Holy Spirit these days, that you will connect and you will see how God is at work, that you will see how the Spirit is at work in you, convicting you, inviting you to the good things that God has for you, guiding you, giving you the words to say. So let's all pray right now. I'm going to leave a couple of seconds of silence and just invite the Spirit to speak to us. If you hear something, please share it with somebody. I'd love to hear about it. But we're going to have just a couple of seconds of silence, and then I'll start praying. Please pray with me. Lord God Almighty, we ask for you to speak. We know that you can. We know that you do. We know that you are constantly inviting us to be more and more your follower, more and more following the Jesus way. And so we ask that you would convict us, that you would invite us, that you would guide us with your Holy Spirit. Help us listen to the Spirit. Help us to be empowered by the Spirit. We recognize that part of living the Spirit-filled life is repenting of what we need to repent of. And we are reminded by this week's news that there is much to repent of. God, help us repent. Help us turn away from the evil as a nation that we have seen this week, that we have seen for many, many years. We repent, Lord. Convict us of how to move forward. Invite us to moving more and more into your will and your way, becoming your follower more and more. Help us listen to you. Help us experience you. We ask and we pray for your empowerment through the power of the Holy Spirit and by the wonderful and powerful name of Jesus. Do this, Lord, we ask and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Go and be blessed this week. Go listening to the Holy Spirit. Repent, be convicted, be invited, be empowered by what the Spirit is doing. Know what the Spirit has done and know what the Spirit is doing and will continue to do through the church. Take care from church family. See you soon.